Good morning, church. Great to see everyone out today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 7th chapter. In the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we're going to be looking at God's Word there in that place this morning. It really is a joy, it really is a privilege to be together today and worship the true God. All the songs, all the prayers, the words, it's just been uplifting, it's been wonderful. And brethren, I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad that we are together. It has been said, I may not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds my future. And this morning, I want to encourage you in an attitude. I want to encourage you in trust that the best days are ahead. The best days are ahead. I was drawn to this picture. I really like this picture, and I want to show it to you because here's a fellow that's gone to a lookout, and he's surveying all before him. And I got to wondering, in what direction is he looking? Is he looking back over all the terrain that he's already traveled and the places that he's been? Or is he looking forward to where he wants to go and the things that he has yet to see? Which direction is he looking? Which direction do you tend to look in your life? I want to encourage you this morning to be looking forward because the best days are ahead. You see, when we're confronted by sadness and hardship, temptations and trials, when we are facing difficulties and discouragement in our present circumstances, we have a choice. There's a choice in which way we want to turn and where we want to look and where we want to focus our mind. There is an attitude choice to be made. And we can look backward. We can look back longingly for the good old days. We can look back at those times that we tell ourselves were so much easier and so much better than now. We can have an attitude that says the best days are really behind us. We peaked. We had our moment in our sun. And that was the best that it's going to be. That was as good as it gets. Or you can look in another direction and understand and trust that the best days are ahead. And I believe that Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 10 helps us in this decision, helps us in this attitude. What does the scripture say there? Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. This scripture shows me, it shows God's people. We're often tempted to look back longingly for the past instead of being faithful and serving God today for a better future. And he says, don't look back at the past. Don't think that way. I'm telling you this morning that we have a choice in our attitude and our outlook. Now, when I say there's a choice, I am not saying they are equal choices. As we are looked together, we're going to find that one choice is wise according to God's word and one choice is foolish. I just want you to appreciate that we do have a choice. And can I encourage you this morning? Can I encourage us as God's people? Can I encourage us from God's wisdom to make the wise choice to trust in the Lord, to trust that the best days are ahead? And I believe the wisdom of Solomon teaches us that very truth. Number one, foolishness longs for the old days. Number one, your notes, foolishness longs for the old days. I want us to appreciate that when we're reading the wisdom literature, we're reading Proverbs, we're reading in Ecclesiastes, there's this ongoing contrast between wisdom and foolishness. He's going to show us what wisdom is. He's going to warn us against foolishness. And I read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, do not say, why were the former days better than these? You do not inquire wisely. He says that's not wise. That's not from wisdom. Well, if that's not coming from wisdom, then where's this coming from? That's foolish. That is foolishness. But people do it. I mean, we look back longingly in the good old days all the time. We can get ourselves in mental, emotional, even spiritual ruts saying, boy, I wish it was the way it used to be. It's a common thing. Maybe you've met some people like that who, they're kind of beholden to the past, held captive to the past. They still want to tell you about their glory days from high school. And high school was 20 years ago. And I don't want to take away from your high school. I hope you had a great high school. And if you were the star of the football team and you won state that year, that's a great story, man. Tell that story. But now it has been 15 years ago. It has been 20 years ago. So like, what's going on now? And what's exciting you about tomorrow? Some people don't have very good answers about that. They're longing for the old days. People do this in their relationships. They hit a difficult stretch in their marriage now. And what do? They start thinking about, the one that got away. They start thinking about the old flame. And boy, you can really get yourself into some trouble with that now, because it's just so easy with the internet and social media to go be finding those old flames. And maybe you've heard about the people who have blown up their marriage and blown up their families because they wanted to go back to the past and try to get something from the long ago. They were only thinking about the good old days. Christians do this in our walk with the Lord. We can start looking back and even looking back longingly at the old man of sin, who we used to be and what we used to do. You made a brother like that, and he's come out of the world, and he's baptized, he's in Christ. And for a couple of years, he really does leave those scenes, that old party scene, that old drug scene, what have you. But boy, he's not making the friends or the connections like he thought he would. And some of those old people are coming around, they're calling him up again, and he's thinking, I might go back. Boy, we did have a lot of fun together. Those were some good times, those were some wild days. Tell you about a mistake I did one time. I can say it was a mistake now because I'm looking back, right? Mistake I made a few years ago. I'm co-teaching a high school Bible class. And there was a brother in the congregation that I've been working with. And he had one of those stories that you think the young people in the class need to hear. Okay, he kind of grew up in a Christian home, but made a lot of bad choices. Went out into the world, I mean way out into the world. Drugs and crime and jail, I mean that whole kind of story. But he had come back. And he had been restored. And he was part of the church. And some of us got to thinking, you know, he's got one of those stories the young people ought to hear. And so we brought him in and he's talking to the high school class. And he hadn't been talking long and I realized, we got a problem. And I don't know how to explain it other than this, but his eyes were lighting up as he told all the wrong parts of that story. His eyes weren't lighting up at we serve the God of the second chance. And his eyes weren't lighting up about the grace of Christ. And you can make a change in Christ. It wasn't lighting up about that. His eyes were lighting up about all the carnal things. And I realized this fella, he's looking back at the old days. He's longing for the old days. And time passes, and sure enough, he went back to the old ways and the old days, and he left the Lord. And my heart breaks. You know, I moved on, and we lost touch, but I got word a few weeks ago, he died in an automobile accident. And I don't know how his soul was with the Lord when he died. But there was a moment in a time when he was doing right, that his heart began looking back at the old ways. And Jesus has warned his people. And such passages as Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't long for the old ways before the Lord without the Lord. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. She was destroyed looking back to the wickedness and sin behind her. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we're looking back and longing for the old days. I hear Christians talking about this sometimes in connection with their local church. You know, I get to go to other places and hold gospel meetings. They won't take me around and show me the auditorium. And it'll be the first or second night of the meeting. And they'll start saying, oh, you should have seen this church win. I mean, no, it's not packed out anymore. But, you know, we used to have to put out the chairs. Oh, what this church used to be. And how the people used to come out and worship. Oh, what it used to be. And how we used to baptize people and the evangelistic efforts. Oh, how it used to be. And the more they talk, the more it sounds like they're persuaded. All the best days for that congregation are the long ago. They're looking back. They're looking back on the old days. Solomon's showing us it's foolish to be looking back on the old days like that. A couple of reasons. First, because it's impossible to go back. Here's the way it works. Our God has created, and this world continues from creation to the day of eternity until he returns and there is uncreation. There is no going back. I don't care how exciting the Avengers movies are. What Spider-Man says about you can go back and forward and middle. No, you can't. That's not the way this world is. That's not the way that God has made it. And if we are always looking back and always longing for the past, we can miss out on some really great things now. We can miss out on some wonderful opportunities right now. It really is foolish. And not only is there foolishness here because it's just impossible, but because it's deceptive. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17 in verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And the heart, working through our memories, has a way of forgetting bad things in the past. We look back at our past often through these rose-tinted glasses. And it's just dishonest because nothing now, nothing today, can ever live up to the selective grandeurs of our memory. When the past was the present, it was full of stress. And there were trials. And there were challenges then as well. But we forget those. We deceive ourselves that the good old days were so much better, so different from today. And oh, if we could only go back. Well, if that longing for the past doesn't come from wisdom, where's wisdom? What does wisdom teach us? Let's go on to number two in the notes. Wisdom redeems the present day. I look at God's word, I look at the teaching from Scripture, and wisdom redeems the present day. You'll find in Proverbs and Psalms, Ecclesiastes, etc., that wisdom is intrinsically linked to God. In Psalm 111, in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." What's wise? Fear or respect God and obey Him. Or Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Know the Lord. Know God. This is wisdom. Even the book of Ecclesiastes ends by giving the whole of man. This is what life's all about. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." What is wise? It is wise to fear the Holy God. It is wise to know the Holy God. Know Him. Know His will. It is wise to obey God and obey God today. Well, what do we need to know about God? Well, we need to know that God gave us a mind and God gave us a memory to empower us in the present, not trap us in the past. Well, you're giving us a hard way about our memories and how we like them good old days. But why can't I even think about those things? God gave me a memory. Well, He did. But there's a purpose. Empower the present, not trap us in the past. He has given us a memory that we might learn from the past. Not covet it now. That we could learn from others' mistakes. Not have to make our own. Learn even from others' triumphs. So that we could follow those good examples. We have a memory that we might educate ourselves. And educate the youth coming along behind us. We have examples in our memories and experiences that encourage people. I even think about the value and the power of history. And God's inspired history here in the Scripture. To show forth people that we could emulate, the best examples of the past to follow. His word is written, the Scriptures of all of His mighty works done in the past, of His will, so that we might know Him, so that we might serve Him, so that we might obey Him. Not so that we spend all our lives, oh man, I just wish I had lived in first century Palestine. That's when I should have lived. No. We live right now. And it's good that God's given us this life right now. What a blessing. But we learn from what was written. We learn from this past. We learn from our experiences in our memory, not to covet them. He's given us the ability to remember so that we might be thankful even for the past, not make us discontent now. In the book of Numbers, in the 11th chapter, Numbers chapter 11, we catch up with God's people, the Israelites, who have been delivered from Egyptian bondage. And God is feeding them every day. An incredible miracle that there is manna on the ground. Bread from heaven every day. They'd been going on eating that manna for a while. And notice what happens in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." They could remember all the different food that they were eating in Egyptian bondage. They could remember how God blessed them and provided for them even in their slavery. And that memory could have encouraged them in the present moment that God will continue to provide. But instead, what's happening, their minds are playing some tricks on them, aren't they? Because while they're thinking about the delicious fish and the cucumbers, that's an interesting dish. What'd they forget? Oppression, groaning, infanticide, the Egyptian bondage. There was a miracle happening every morning. They go outside. It's a miracle. There's bread on the ground. And they're like, "Yeah, but boy, I remember the fish and the cucumbers. I remember the good old days." And so the memory of the past fueled discontent. That was not wise. They grumbled and murmured against God. They complained against God. That was not wise. They didn't have a memory to fuel discontent. There's power in memory. There's power in memorials. I think about the one that we observed just a few moments ago as we ate the Lord's Supper together. The body of Christ represented by the bread. The blood shed of Christ represented by the fruit of the vine. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul talks about how it's important when the church comes together for this remembrance. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so we have this memorial and we eat this Lord's Supper and we remember his death. And in it, we proclaim his death. And that's something that happened in the past. But you know what? He's not dead. In the present, he lives. He was raised up and he lives. He lives forever. And he is coming back. We continue proclaiming this death until he comes. We look back and we remember the great acts of God to propel us about the future and fuel our hope in Christ. The best days truly are ahead. It's not all over. I'm telling you that wisdom, and we do that today, wisdom redeems the present day. The present day. You redeem the time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." There's our wise-foolish distinction that Solomon's trying to teach us about. "Redeeming the time. Make the most of the time. Because the days are evil." Because they're evil. Evil days. Hard times. Of course, we faced hard times. Some of us look at that, and it's even today. Individually. You're here today, but you're struggling with temptation and sin. Or you're struggling with some sickness you're trying to work through. Or there's all kind of drama going on in your family, and you're trying to figure that out. You've got individual difficulties, hard times. But it can also be congregationally. There's churches with, you know, open strife in them meeting together today. Or there's churches that have split over some issue or another. There's hard times regionally when there's some disaster that hits your community or a hurricane is coming in. That's regional hard times. Even national hard times when you're dealing with a pandemic. You find out all your countrymen are. Or there's the possibility of war. War's going on. The present day is hard. Evil days, the Bible says there are evil days. And one way to face it is to mentally retreat and let's just be thinking about the past and have an attitude of discouragement and just be longing for the old days. But the other way is to get active and make the most of the time that you have now, to have a proper attitude about today and to be busy today in God's service. What we can do today, We can rejoice that gospel truth is freely taught in this place today, in this community today. Let's be about teaching it to the more people. Let's be about inviting more people to come and to worship with us, to come and to hear the word. We can do that today. And let's be thanking God for one another today. Because I'll tell you that we need one another. We need one another in this local church. This wonderful congregation. I look out and, you know, you can look around too. You don't have to just look at me, right? There's just this wonderful mix of folks in this congregation. I mean, really a wonderful mix. Dynamics of differing experiences and wisdom, along with energy and creativity. So many talents. I'm going to look around and the other thing I see is, boy, and what a mix of ages too. From the littlest babies and some of these unexpected mothers to some others who, well, they've been coming to church for a while. We'll just say it like that. It's kind of a rare thing to find a church with such a great mix intergenerationally. Been to the churches where it's a lot of elderly people, not much youth. There's even churches where there's a whole lot of youth, but you don't see any elderly people. But then you find this wonderful mix. How do you keep that wonderful church family together? Well, God's grace, brotherly affection, an appreciation for one another, hospitality, love. You know how precious it is? The one another we have right here at Livingston, it's precious. And it's something to give thankful to God today and love one another today. And we can exemplify zeal and encouragement today. Make the most of the time today. Redeem today. Wisdom is in redeeming today. So foolishness is about longing for the past. Wisdom is about redeeming today, the present day. But I want to take one more step with you and the lesson will be yours. And that's the step of faith. Faith hopes in future days. Faith hopes in future days. I trust that tomorrow can be a better day. I believe the best days are ahead. The reason I trust that, the reason why I believe that, is because our God is the reason for our faith and our hope. I've got a typo in the interactive outline. Sorry about that. It says 1 Peter 3:21, and that's a good verse to read. But the one I wanted to point out was 1 Peter 1 and verse 21, which says this: who through him, through Christ, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. My faith and my hope is in God. Why? Because God's given me Christ. He's given me Christ. Christ was sacrificed and he raised up Christ so that my faith and my hope are in God. And when I appreciate that God has given us Jesus and raised him up, there is no good thing that he's going to keep back from us. My faith and my hope are in God. And God teaches his people to press on. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul, from a jail cell, wrote, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The Apostle had a hope in the future. His faith and his confident expectation was about the future. Whatever tomorrow holds. Now tomorrow, if I'm here, I'll be living for Christ. And tomorrow, if I'm not, I'll be living with Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. But what he didn't do from the prison was wish for the good old days. He wasn't doing that. In Philippians 3 and verses 13 and 14, he purposefully forgets those things that are behind, anything that might hinder him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I'm pressing forward this day. I'm pressing forward into future days. Here he is in prison and writes, "I want to forget about what's behind me." And that might be failures. That's certainly victories, whatever's in the past. But my hope is for tomorrow. Our hope is for tomorrow. And when we get some of that outlook, some of that attitude, there is a trust. The better days are ahead. The best days are ahead. I believe that as a Christian. I'm going to tell you, I believe that about this local church here at Livingston. I really do. There's some things happening right here in the present that just fill me with so much hope about tomorrow and about God's goodness in this place. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited by the recent baptisms that have been happening this last year. And Landon McClellan was baptized this past week, praise God. So encouraged by the families placing membership with us in the last couple of months. So encouraged by just all the different talents, and some are kind of hidden talents that come up and come out in the moment of need and in the hour of need in this congregation. I'm so encouraged by the leadership of the church, the elders that we have here and the deacons that we have here, godly men who are raising up and leading godly families. So excited about that. So excited about expanding our property here recently and the upcoming renovations we got on the property. So we can improve the classroom capacity and even the parking capacity. Some of you teachers, you know, you're teaching classrooms where you kind of cock your head over like that because the slant of the roof. We're so worried that those kids won't graduate out of that grade before they hit their growth spurt. But we're going to make all that better. We're going to make all that better. And that's very exciting to me. That's very, very exciting to me. The things that are going on right now in this present tell me that the best days are ahead for this congregation. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, last scripture in the lesson of the year, Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know what I learned from this passage? That if I'm going to wrap up my mind in longing and pining, I need to be longing for Christ. That's the one. He's the one that I need to fix my mind upon, focus my attention, give my best, Christ. And it's good to be looking on Christ because He goes before us. He is ahead of us. We are going to Him, Christ. Is the future of the people of God. And if I'm going to have a soft place in my heart for where I want to be, again, a longing about going home, then help me understand my home is heaven. And that's where I want to go. And that's where I need to go. That's my home, because that's the true home, and we never lose that home. I wake up every morning really with a confidence. Today is a great day. Tomorrow can be a great day. One of the reasons? Because Jesus could come back. That's a fearful thing for people who are not in Christ. But that's hope in your pocket and joy in your heart when you are in Christ. If today is the day, oh yeah, the best is yet to come. But I'll tell you the other reason, because He may not. And if He doesn't, you know what I've got today? You know what I've got tomorrow? God's purpose for me. I'm a child of God. I know from His word how I need to be living faithfully another day. And as I live faithfully another day, I'm just one day closer home. I'm one day closer to heaven. I believe, I want to persuade you that the best days are ahead. I appreciate your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, the best days are ahead. Let's learn from the wisdom of Solomon. Let's be thinking and have an attitude that comes from wisdom. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, the scripture says, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? You do not inquire wisely concerning this." Started by, well, showing you that picture and asking you, which way do you think that fella's looking? Well, what's the direction of your outlook? I'll tell you, in Christ, you can be looking forward with a lot of confidence. The best days are ahead. But until you're in Christ, There may be some things pulling you back, looking back, haunting you. Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it consequence of sin? I'm not sure. But it's time to lay those things down. It's time to move beyond the temptations and set aside every entrapment that ensnares us and follow Christ. And the invitation of the gospel is you can leave here this morning in Him, one of His people, looking forward to His return. Are you in Him? We invite you to make the confession you believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent of sin in your life, and be baptized. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Be immersed in water into Christ. Then you are in Him. And it may be that you're here this morning. You've done that. You've been baptized into Jesus. But as we studied along, you've realized you've not been living for Him at all. It's more than just longing for the world. You've been the one going back into the world. Be restored to Him. Repent of those things. Can we encourage you? Can we help you? Can we pray for you? We want to. So we all leave here together with wonderful confidence in the promises of God and that the best days are ahead. If we can help you with any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known as we stand and sing. Won't you come forward?